You know, on like Mother's Day and Father's Day and things like that, we don't really tailor a specific message to that day. It's, you know, it's everybody can kind of relate to the message, regardless of what day it is. Meaning fathers can relate to a Mother's Day message and vice versa. Speaking the truth, speaking the Bible, it all applies to each and every one of us. But today I want to share with you, and moms, it's going to hit you guys too, but I do want to kind of direct some thoughts or statements to dads. And I was just kind of thinking about these things, and I want to talk about, as a dad and a mom, okay? But I'm going to use the word fathers throughout, but moms, you're included, so don't nod off and go to sleep until we're done here. But especially if we're parents, we're being watched. And I know that we say that a lot. I know that we say that about like the world. You know, the world watches us as Christians. The world watches us and sees what we're going to do and how we act and react and things like that. But it really, really comes close when it's your kids. I don't know about you, but as a parent, there's times where my heart breaks because I react in a human way. And I look at them, my kids, and I just see them and I'm thinking, this isn't right. It's not right. Then I apologize and ask for forgiveness. But you look at them at times and you say, man, this is such a high responsibility being a parent. It's an incredible privilege. Some of you, you guys know our story, my wife and I's story about having kids and going from 0 to 4 in a little over a year, right? So we kind of been on a roller coaster ever since. But I remember during that time, many of you approached me and you said this. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment because it's fast. It goes by quick. And some of you sitting here this morning, you're empty nesters. Your kids may be grown and have their own kids. You may be grandparents. You may be great grandparents. And I would guess, like every, I'm assuming, I want to make an assumption here, because for me, when I look at my life and I take a snapshot of my life, I look at it sometimes and I think, where in the world is time going? How is it possible that time is going this fast? How is it possible that I'm this age now, you know? And I still feel very immature. No comments, okay? But I still feel, you know, very immature. I still, you know, and it's like, where is time going, you know? And I remember you guys saying, enjoy every single moment because it goes fast. And I've tried to do that. I've intentionally tried to do that. I've intentionally tried to take a deep breath and do that. And there's some times where I'm like, dear Lord, it's not going fast enough, right? But I try to slow down. And I don't know about you, but being a father, you know, being a mother, being a parent, it can be difficult. So, I know, like, with my parents, we've often, you know, sometimes we use it humorous where we'll bring people up. Even like when we talked about with the graduates this year, we said, hey, what's something that you remember from your father or your mother, your parents giving you advice on, right? And every single one of us, if we just had a moment and every single one of us could contribute, you all have that thing where you remember this is how it was when you were raised, right? And some of you said, I will never be like that. Some of you said, I want to be like that. I want to build upon that foundation. Some of you, you know, we have these humorous little anecdotes that our parents gave us, and later on in life, you're like, what in the world did that mean? You know? And then others, it is what it is. But our kids are watching us, and our kids see and they hear things. And sometimes we don't realize it until it's too late. Sometimes, you know, time gets by and we realize we've made an impression on our kids and you want to kind of go back and undo it. And I hope our lives aren't full of regret in that sense, but I hope today we can kind of take a look at that. I want to share with you a very quick little clip. Many of you have probably seen this. I think it's humorous, but I think it does communicate the point. And there's a lot of clips out there I think we could use, but if you would just bring the lights down and kind of lean into this clip, and I think this illustrates what I'm talking about pretty well.
Last summer we did our first big family vacation. Well, I should clarify, we went to Disney. Now, if you haven't been to Disney as an adult, just imagine you're standing in line at the DMV and that's it. Actually, it was Orlando in July, so it was kind of like standing in line on the surface of the sun. Why would we do this to ourselves? Remember when you were a kid and you'd go on vacation, you'd be like, why is Dad always in a bad mood? Now I understand. How can I spend an enormous amount of money, be uncomfortable, and listen to my children complain and whine?
Disney.
They're watching us. I mean, I bet you all of us, we have something where we look back. You know, when I saw that clip a while back, I just resonated with it because it was like, I had those moments like where, you know, I remember watching my father and just different situations where it's like, man, this is not a good time. I remember when I was a real small kid, for some reason, I think men, this kind of brings it out in us, around Christmas when we're setting up decorations, right? And it's like, my wife and I have kind of developed a system where it's like, I do this, and then I literally get out of the way, and I don't show up again until this is done. Cause it's bad chemistry, right? So, I remember my dad, remember back in the day, this is back in the 70s, remember those fake cardboard fireplaces? Remember those? Anyone? I remember my dad wrestling with one of those like he was wrestling an alligator in Florida, man. And by the time he was done with it, it was all cattywampus and just kind of leaning and everything, every which way. And it was just, for me, it was hilarious. But, man, you didn't laugh while he was trying to put that thing together. But I think about those things, you know, and our kids are watching us. In fact, you know, and they see good things and they see things that they're going to remember that could be very positive and negative. But I want to really lean in on that concept. Jesus, when he was with his disciples one time, he talked about seeing the Father through him. Remember that? One of the disciples said, you know, we don't know who the Father is, or we haven't seen the Father. And this is in my own words, but Jesus said, but you've seen me. You've seen me. And because you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen God. You've seen how God loves. You see how the Father reaches and loves people and how he forgives and those things that Jesus did as he walked here on the earth. And he demonstrated that to the disciples. That's what I hope that our kids can say about us, that, you know, that there's going to be those positive moments where they said, I saw this within my parents. But I think we need to ask ourselves that question. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, I just want to read a very familiar passage with you. So Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 19 through 24 real quick. So Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about possessions, you know, treasures and things. And he says this, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. And this is the verse I want to camp on. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In fact, let's just stop there. That verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me just share with you a couple points today about, and particularly in this verse and how it relates to parenting. Number one is this. Everyone is searching for happiness. Everyone's searching for happiness. Every single person sitting in this room right now is searching for happiness. In fact, we read about that. We read about, you know, throughout the scriptures, that's what we see. We see mankind searching for happiness. You're searching for happiness. I'm searching for happiness. What, you know, and we're going to take a look at that here in a few moments, but as Pascal said, and if you look at this quote real quick, some of you may have seen this quote, listen to what he says, and it doesn't relate to morality or anything like that. He's just making a statement, or he just made a statement back in his day. He said this, all men seek happiness, all men, mankind, all men seek happiness. This is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. The cause of some going to war and of others avoiding it, it is the same desire in both, attended with different views. The will never takes the least step but to this object. This is the motive of every action of every man, even those who hang themselves. Pascal said, everyone's searching for happiness. He didn't say everyone's searching for happiness in God. He's making a point. He's just making a statement. He's making a point that says mankind is on a trajectory that we're all searching for happiness. Our kids see that. Our kids see you and I as we search for happiness. Our kids see us as we search for, you know, what our treasure is. Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Where you're looking for happiness, that's where your heart is literally going to be. And the second thing that I want to share, the second point we camp out here for a few moments is this. What do they see that makes you happy? And I don't mean what do they see that, you know, I'm talking about when they look at you, when they look at you as a parent, when they look at you as a grandparent, when they look at you as an aunt and uncle, whatever it is, what do they see makes you happy? You're searching for happiness. You're on a path where you're searching, you're on a journey where you're searching for happiness. Your heart is going to be right locked in to where you believe you're going to find happiness. It's been said many times that we can look at a person's checkbook, we can look at their calendar, and a couple of those things, and determine, without even talking to that person, where their happiness lies, where their treasure's at, where their heart is going to be. From those things, how do you spend your money? How do you spend your time? Resources are very valuable. Those resources are very valuable. And every single one of us shares the same amount of time. Some of us may have more money or lesser money than others, but the point of it is this. What is it that our kids see? Where do they see our hearts? Where do they see us pursuing the things that we pursue? Think about that question for a second. Your kids are watching you. You're setting an example. You're setting a path. Whether they're raised or not, whether they're out of the house or not, you still have influence on them. At the end of the day, when your kids grow up, if they're young, when they grow up and they're off and they're determining their own life, essentially, what is it that they saw within you that truly drove you to happiness? Where your heart was at? Was it in material things? Is it in things of this world? Was it in things, as Jesus said, these things are all temporary? Jesus said your happiness isn't going to be found in these things. Store up your treasures in things that are eternal. You know, understand that your happiness is going to be found rooted in the identity of Jesus Christ. Does that describe us? Listen to what C.S. Lewis says. C.S. Lewis says this, we are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Now, I get that his illustration is a little bit dated when he lived, but C.S. Lewis, I believe, was one of the most prolific writers in Christianity. And he says, man, we're like half-hearted creatures at times. What we truly think is going to bring joy is the thing that never brings joy. What we truly think is the thing that's going to going to be the treasure of our hearts, that's a lot of times not what's going to bring us happiness. He's really kind of addressing even, again, what Pascal was writing about to say, we're all on this journey seeking happiness. The question is, where do we find that? And C.S. Lewis says, a lot of times we are satisfied by a lot less. It's not rooted in God. It's not our happiness or our joy is not found in God. It's found in these things that can be temporary. It's found in these things that are not going to last. These things that have no meaning whatsoever. And that's where a lot of times our treasures can be, our hearts can be. And C.S. Lewis kind of uses, I love the picture that he gives. It's like some child that's just making mud pies in the slum. When out there, they can't imagine what else is out there. I wonder how many of us are sitting in here right now, truth be known, you're deceived. We're deceived. We've bought into the lies of Satan. We've bought into the lies of the evil one. We've bought into the lies of this world that says if we just pursue this, or if we do this, or if we do that, if we just, you know, invest our lives into this, this is where my heart's at. And guys, I'm going to tell you something. You all know it. You can know someone's passion and where their heart lies by just talking to them for just a few minutes because it comes out. There's times where we can sit and we can talk for hours about something that has absolutely no meaning. Something that at the end, that's not going to last for eternity whatsoever. And we can literally find so much identity in that thing. We can find so much you know, joy or happiness, so we think, in that particular thing. But at the end of the day, it means absolutely nothing. That's, our kids are watching that. Our kids are viewing that. They're seeing that. We're impressing upon them that this is where you're going to find joy. This is where you're going to find happiness. This is where you need to invest your life. Yeah, this over here is okay. You know, maybe, you know, and some of us, we have this, again, we think that we can compartmentalize, and we say, well, I've got my spiritual side, and I've got this side over here, and it's almost as if we're saying, yeah, this spiritual stuff's good. It's good, you know, follow Jesus, you know, do that. However, you need to really do this stuff right here. What are we telling people? What are we telling our kids? What are we communicating to them where our heart is truly at? Do we truly believe that our joy is in Jesus Christ? Have you discovered that? No doubt some of you sitting in here this morning have discovered that. And when I say discovered, I'm not talking about you've just put in the time. You've been going to church for years and years and years. You've put in the time and you have the list of things that you've accomplished in church and things like that. But at the end of the day, you're really not full of joy because this has just kind of become a checklist. I'm talking about the people that have truly discovered that joy is found in Jesus Christ. Their complete happiness and joy, and your heart has been tipped and turned and submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ to where it's about Him and about bringing Him glory that He so deserves. Pascal would go on to say in this, I'm just throwing some quotes out here. Pascal says this, would go on to say this, but these are all inadequate. At some point he understood, kind of came to the realization, but these are all inadequate because the infinite abyss can only be filled by an infinite and immutable object. That is to say, only by God Himself. Folks, that's the journey right there. Every single one of us is on that journey right there. That's it. Will we discover, as a father, will I discover that my joy is rooted in this only by God Himself? And I mean truly, I understand it. Truly, I've discovered it. Truly, my life is going to be built on that. Is that something that I, as a father, as you as a father, as you as a mother, as you as a parent, wherever you're at, will you, even if you're not even a parent, just anyone, this is the journey that we're all on. You're searching for happiness and you're searching. Will you discover that it's only found in God Himself? Now I want to tell you something. When we truly discover that, that's when our lives are completely submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Just like we've been talking about when Jesus challenged some of some of the individuals that were following Him that day. Remember, we talked about, I think it was in Luke chapter 9, where He turned to them and He said, and we used this in the last series we just came out of, He said, you need to deny yourself. You need to pick up your cross and follow me. That's when you begin to discover that your joy is found only and implicitly in God Himself. Where we say, this isn't about me. This is not about me. This is not about fulfilling my desires. This is not about fulfilling the things that I think are going to bring me joy. It's about me denying myself. That humanness, that human curse, that sin nature, that, you know, that original sin that mankind is cursed with throughout until we find Jesus, and Jesus finds us, that's eradicated, and we begin to find ourselves, our identity in God Himself. Our kids are watching. Our kids are looking. Our kids are seeing what we truly find joy in. Do they see us on this journey, understanding that only God Himself can fulfill that? Let me share with you another passage of scripture found in Psalm 37:4. A passage of scripture you guys have no doubt seen and read numerous times and have taken probably great comfort in. It says this: take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. For a long time I struggled with that verse. I struggled with that verse because I didn't understand it. When I looked at that, I thought, you know what? There's a part of Gail that's in Gail's heart that's, my desires might not line up with God's. You know, where you're struck, you know, where it's that dual nature going at war, and at times where my heart wants what Gail wants. And I would read that, and I'm like, man, that's just, I don't understand that. But once you understand that, taking delight in the Lord, when we take delight in the Lord, when we understand that our true happiness is going to be found in God, when we take delight in God, He will give us desires of our hearts because He begins to replace our humanly desires with His desires. So when He gives us the desires of our hearts, they are the things that He wants for us to begin with. It's incredible how God works that way. But it only comes by, again, submitting to the Lordship of Jesus and delighting in God. Delighting in the Lord. Taking delight in Him. And then He gives us the desires of our hearts where our desires are then pure. And they're things that will bring us exactly what we're looking for. Life and life to the fullest. The psalmist in 16:11 says this. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. In your right hand are eternal pleasures. God, this whole thing, when we talk about bringing God glory, and I'm going to end with a quote here in a second. Why don't you just go ahead and throw it up there for a minute. This whole concept of bringing God glory, Jonathan Edwards back in the day wrote this, and it's amazing how this works because it's all about this search for happiness. And when we truly realize that it's found in bringing God glory, and as we do that, we are filled with God's desire, God's pleasures, God's joy. But Jonathan Edwards would pin this, and he'd say, God is glorified not only by His glories being seen, but by its being rejoiced in. Which means this, God's God, right? If we chose never to confess the name of Jesus, if we chose to never bring God glory, if I chose on this journey of mine right now, if I chose the things that Gail wants, if I said, I want to pursue the things that I want, God, I don't want these things. I want what I want. I want to pursue these other things that I believe are going to bring happiness within my life. Here's the kicker. That has nothing to do, really, it brings no void to God's glory whatsoever. God's glory is God's glory. The kicker is this, and I think this is where C.S. Lewis is getting back to it, where at times us humans just don't get it, and we are just almost like little immature children, is when we read through the scriptures, especially the psalmists tell us over and over and over and over again that God's creation is worshiping Him, bringing Him glory. The creation of God. All things of God. God created those things that are bringing Him glory, are lifting Him up glory, that are shouting out Him through general revelation, where they're bringing Him glory. Edwards would say, it's when we discover this and understand that God's glory is so huge, but it becomes so much more complete, not that it's, and bear with me, I'll say this, but it's not that it's incomplete without us, but when we rejoice in His glory, that's when everything kind of comes together, especially for us. When we come in God's presence and we say, God, it's all about You. It's all about You. It's always been about You. And God, I'm coming into You. I'm coming into You and I want to bring You glory. I want my life to bring You glory. So God, whatever it is that You want to do in my life, I want that. And when we coincide, that's when this beautiful chemistry takes place, this beautiful harmony takes place, because essentially that is how we were created, is to bring God glory. And when that happens, it's everything comes together, and that's when we find life, and we find life to the fullest. But here's the kicker, or the question. Is that your desire? Is that the desire of your heart? Is the desire of your heart, I mean, truly, sitting in here this morning, if you would ask yourself that question, is the desire of my heart to bring God glory? And not just throwing up a yes or a no, but taking a snapshot, pulling back like our kids do, and see our lives. Is that what it represents? Would your kids look at your life and say, my father is about bringing God glory. My father is completely submitted to the best of his abilities. And he may struggle at times, but the best of his abilities, he is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The desire of his heart is to bring God glory. The desire of my mother's heart has always been to bring God glory. Is that what your kids see? Or do your kids see something else where it's about you? It's about your desires. It's about making your name known. It's about what it is that you put your hand to and how successful you are or what you've accomplished and what you've done. And you smatter that and season that a little bit with some spirituality or Christianity or whatever you want to say. But is that really the desire of your heart? What does your kid say? As the worship team comes back, we're going to close with one more song. But I just want to say this. Just kind of bring it back to where I started this. I am so humbled at times, again, when I look at the faces of my kids. And you kind of look at them, and I know you've been there. I know you've seen it too. Not my kids, but yours, right? I know you've seen it too, where you look at your kids and you realize that you're making an impression that's really not the impression you want to make. Where you've handled something, you've said something sharply, where you've handled something in a way that's not godly. And again, I know that there's times as we're humans. I get that we're not perfect, and there's times where we're going to fall, we're going to slip. But is the desire of your heart about bringing God His glory? Is that where you would say, that is where I know I will find happiness? And your kids see that because you're passing it down to them and you're influencing them what you believe really matters and can set them on the path of what they think is going to really matter. How we're influencing our kids. I want to take a moment here and I want to close with prayer. But if you would permit me, I would like to have a special prayer for fathers today. And I would like to pray that God would just impress upon each and every man sitting in here, whether you're married yet or not, but that you will grow into the man that God has created you to be. A spiritual leader of your home, where you're driven by the happiness. Your happiness is driven by bringing God His glory. I just want to have a word of prayer, and I want to ask that God would just impress in on you as a father that would truly be your desire. That all other things you would submit to Him, all other things you would sacrifice and say, this is what I want more than anything else for my family and for my wife. So fathers, I want us all to bow our heads and our hearts. Fathers, if you would just lean into this prayer with me. Just open your hearts to the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Jesus, I thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy. When we talk about these things right here, it really hits home. It really peels back the layers. It really gets down to where we live. It really makes us uncomfortable at times. And I'm positive, Jesus, that men sitting in here want to leave a powerful impression upon their kids' lives. I mean, we love our kids so much. And I pray that if we love our kids so much, that we would be godly examples to them. That when they look at us, they would see a father that is driven to bring you glory. That this path of this journey of happiness ends in you, where we find joy and completeness, where we truly find ourselves, we find our identity in you. Father, I pray that if that's not the desires of our heart here this morning, that your spirit would just press in. I pray that if we've been deceived by Satan to think other things, or we may think that we're okay and that we're on that track, I pray that you would allow the spirit to just lean into us to correct us and to pull us back and to give us mercy and grace and forgiveness and redirect our thinking to be able to arrest where we're at in our thinking that's full of deception and fallacy, and that we would look to you once again for that end purpose. Father, I pray for those in here this morning that guard this. They've came to this decision a long time ago, and they've worked so hard, and they have been so diligent about pursuing you and about bringing you glory with their life. I pray that you would bless them as their children see that and they're raised in that, that their children would not go in another direction, but they would continue to follow in the footsteps of what they know is right and true that their Father has set for them. And so this morning, I just pray right now in these next few moments as we close our time here with one last song, that Father, each and every one of our hearts will be open, regardless of our fathers, or if we're a mother, a grandmother, a grand, whatever it is, Father, I pray that you would just help us to just open our hearts to you right now, to allow your Spirit to just do and guide and lead us into whatever direction that you would want us to go. And I pray that many would have the courage to ask for forgiveness and repent and come back and allow you to set our feet on the rock once again, and that we would follow you with everything that we have. And so I pray right now that you would just minister, and most importantly, I pray that we would respond in the way that you would have us to respond. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus, the power that raised him from the dead, that we pray and we ask each and every one of these things.